Lord God, we give you thanks for being present here. We see you in our midst, and we praise you for being present with us, for hearing our praises and our acclamations of how good you are, and how worthy you are, and how holy you are. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gives us new life and hope, and the promise that things will be right. We give you thanks for your Spirit, which moves among us and is present in this place that fills our hearts with joy and with tears and with laughter and with smiles and with the knowledge that you are present and that you love us more than we can possibly imagine. Help us, Lord, in these moments to share our love for each other, to share our love for you in ways that are meaningful and tangible and helpful. And as we turn our attention to your word this morning, help us to center our thoughts and our hearts and our minds on you, that we would turn all of our attention to you, that you might be glorified in how we hear from your word this day. These things we ask in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. And all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, hear these words from Luke chapter 20, verses 20 through 26. Keeping a close watch on Jesus, they, the chief priests and teachers of the law, they sent spies who pretended to be honest. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he said so they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. So the spies questioned him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" He saw through their duplicity and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose portrait and inscription are on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. He said to them, "Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." They were unable to trap him in what he had said there in public. And astonished by his answer, they became silent. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes it's good just to be silent before Jesus. Those spies learned that lesson in the hard way in that encounter. It has been an interesting couple of weeks for me. I was at the Michigan General Assembly, the state meeting of the Church of God in Michigan, our denomination's state meeting, yesterday and the day before, Friday and Saturday, and I was amazed at how many people came up to me and asked me, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Am I okay? I'm all right. Why do you ask?" And they said, to a person, they said, "But the baseball thing happened. Are you okay? One of my friends was talking to his dad on the phone. His dad was in Florida or something, and he said, 'Is David okay?' They were all checking in on me to see if I'm all right. For the record, I'm fine." Sad. Well, not really sad, Margaret. This is the amazing thing. I think I'd like to do some writing about this, but it's been amazing. Since I'm a Cleveland Indians fan, in case you don't know, I can see my little Cleveland Indians flag on my office door through the window there. That's nice. They made it to Game 7 of the World Series, lost, yada, yada, yada. Okay. After that game ended, it was like a weight had been lifted. I'm serious. Like a weight had been lifted from my shoulders. This is how I felt and still feel. It's really not sad. I feel like it has passed. and now I can go back to life as normal. This is good, a good thing. So thank you for your prayers. It's been kind of exhausting. Kind of a high tension couple of weeks. You can ask Tara about how that tension worked itself out in my life. Pretty interesting. Tension. We know something about tension and having a week that's full of tension. I want you to be honest. A show of hands. How many of you are at a raised level of emotion? It could be positive or negative, related to the events that are coming up this week, specifically related to what will happen Tuesday. You know, there's an election Tuesday. You maybe are nervous or anxious or excited or fearful or hopeful or full of dread or whatever it might be, raised emotions. How many of you are feeling that about this election thing? Okay, about half. That's interesting. I'm glad to know that. I'd like to see that. I'm not taking names or anything. I'm just curious. And I did see some of you go, no, I'm not. Okay, that's, you know, we're kind of all over the place on this election thing. I get that. There are a lot of thoughts going around, a lot of words, a lot of statements floating around about how we as Christians ought to think about this particular moment in our nation's history. And I've heard on both sides, supporting both major candidates, people say this is the most important time ever in our nation's history, and we've got to vote this way or the other. Okay, I've heard it from both sides. It's important to vote if you are of age, if you're 18. Sorry, Lewis. Sorry, others. Jesse, you're on the hook this time. Did you register to vote? You're not 18 yet. Why do I think you're 18? You're not 18. Sorry. Liz, you are 18. Are you registered to vote? Good for you. Vote on Tuesday. Everybody who's eligible and registered to vote, you should do this on Tuesday. It's an important thing to do. But this time in our community, this time in our nation, is a time for us as Christians to reflect and think about where our ultimate loyalties lie. Modern day politics has looked at Christians as a group of people that serve a particular purpose, to vote a certain way or to believe a certain set of things or to support a certain set of policies. And by and large, we as Christians have sort of bought into this idea that if you are a Christian, you then have a loyalty to something else that's higher than being Christian. And I would like to suggest that this is not necessarily true. You can be Christian and vote for anybody you really want to. And that's allowable. It's not going to say on the ballot, are you Christian? Okay, now you're done. You can turn in your ballot. You still get to choose. Your loyalty to Jesus should be higher than your loyalty to a political party or a candidate or a set of beliefs or an outcome. We have agreed to use our loyalty to God as a tool for our expression of a greater loyalty to something human. And that, I think, is mistaken. That, I think, is the issue at stake in Luke 20, this story of Jesus being tested about whether or not you should pay taxes. It's not really about whether or not you should pay taxes. It's the question that was posed to him. And he says, of course you should pay taxes. The story is really a question about loyalty, about where your ultimate loyalty lies. It's a call for us to examine ourselves and to see if we are loyal to Christ or loyal to our own human power structures, whether they be political or religious or economic or social or whatever. The tax in question is really a very minor tax. We would call it maybe a poll tax. It's a tax that was laid on all of the Roman Empire. Rome was the government in charge in the days of Jesus, where he lived. And it was a tax that was laid on every male. Sorry, women, you didn't have to pay for this back then. It only applied to men. And it was a yearly tax, an annual tax of one denarius. And a denarius, do you know what a denarius was? This is a fancy Bible word. How much was it? This is your pop quiz for the day. In dollar figures, we don't really know. We could say, that's all right. Silence is a good thing sometimes, too. One day's wage. It would be about what you would earn if you were a worker and worked a day. You would be paid generally on the order of a denarius. So it would be significantly less than what we pay in income taxes, right? I mean, in income taxes, we pay a lot more than 1/300th of our income, however much, 1/200th of your, you pay more than 1% of your income as income tax, most people do anyway, in some way, shape, or form. Okay, so it's a minor tax, it's not a big deal, but it is a sign of loyalty. It's a tax that keeps the people under the Roman emperor's control. If you're loyal to the emperor, you're going to pay this poll tax and things will be good for you. If you don't pay it, things will not be good for you. And so Jesus is posed with this question, are you loyal to the emperor of Rome or not? They're looking to get rid of Jesus. And if he says no, he's not loyal to the emperor, then they can turn him over to the authorities. Easy, done. But Jesus does not buy into the either-or scenario that's presented to him. Either you support Rome with this tax, or you can be arrested as a traitor or tax evader. The kingdom of God is not an either-or kind of kingdom. It's not the kind of place where you have to do certain things, or pay certain taxes, or vote a certain way in order to have membership. God's kingdom does not require you to be loyal to one particular nation or one particular political position. God expects citizens of his kingdom to be loyal to him first and foremost, and to handle that test of loyalty with integrity and righteousness. What are the symbols of our loyalty to God? We don't pay a denarius tax to God to prove our loyalty, like the people in Jesus' day would pay a denarius to the Roman emperor to prove their loyalty. What are the symbols of our loyalty? I think Jesus is brilliant here. He says, pull out a coin that's used to pay the tax. What is stamped with God's image? The coin is stamped with the emperor's image. It has the emperor's name on it. What in our universe is stamped with the image and inscription of God? Maybe the scriptures, maybe nature, maybe the universe around us. Maybe history is marked with God. Sure, maybe. But the clearest sign of God's presence, the best manifestation of God's image on earth, comes in the form of Jesus himself. Colossians 1:15 says that he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is the perfect image of God in human form. He is without sin, completely righteous. What is stamped with God's image? What bears God's name? First and foremost, Jesus does. And then after that, God's image is not found on coins, or on statues, or in sculptures, but God's image is found in every person, including you and me. Even from the very beginning of our story, from the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 reads, so God created mankind, humankind, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God has stamped his image, not on coins, but on humanity. He has given his name, not to objects and things, but to us, to people. The image of God is not found in silver or gold. It is found in you, and in the person next to you, and in the people all around this world. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're not the perfect image of God like Jesus is. But the portrait and the inscription of God is still evident in us. We belong to God. Should we pay taxes? Yes, you should pay taxes, of course. Should we show our loyalty to the government which organizes our lives, to the nation to which we belong? Yes, of course we should, Jesus says. But that loyalty cannot be our primary loyalty. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. The denarius comes and goes. Big deal. Give to God what is God's, namely yourself and those around you. Our involvement in the things of this world must flow out of our identity as people who are created and loved and redeemed and renewed by God Himself. People who follow Jesus first and foremost are citizens of the kingdom of God. The proof of our loyalty to God's kingdom is how we give not money but ourselves, the bearers of God's image, for God's purposes. For Jesus, that loyalty to God drove him to allow himself to be arrested and tried and convicted and even executed. For us, that kind of loyalty may look very different. It may look different with different people. We have different callings, different gifts. We take different paths through the choices of life. But each of us bears God's image. Each one of us is a beloved, dearly loved child of God. This has tremendous implications for how we view ourselves and the amount of self-worth that we can and should have. But loyalty to God also carries implications for how we view our neighbors. Jesus says the most important thing is to love the Lord and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. The same image of God that lives in you lives in every person in this room, in every person that you meet, in every person that you read about in the news, in every person that you see on television, in every person that you watch in an internet video, in every person whose name will appear on that ballot on Tuesday. God's image dwells in that person. No matter their skin color or gender or native language or religious background, each person carries God's image. Each person belongs to God. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what belongs to God. The big question each of us must answer is how to give ourselves to God, how to spend ourselves for the sake of the kingdom, how to sacrifice ourselves, how to give up our own desires so that God's desires might be met, how to live for Jesus every day. That big question is something we each have to work out individually, and it's something that we should work out together in the context of our church family. And our thoughts about other people. Oh, those thoughts about people on the ballot, about people that you work with, about people that you live with, won't ask you to name names, about people that you encounter on a daily basis, on people that you see on TV, all of those thoughts that we have about people, those thoughts must come from our loyalty to God first. My advice for you this election day is to vote. Do it. I like to tell people that if you don't vote, you don't get to complain about the results. And I like to tell people if you do vote, you don't get to complain about the results because you're agreeing to the system that we have by voting, right? So vote and then watch and see what happens. And when you see the results, when we all see the results of what happens, accept the results. Whether or not the results are what you vote for. And that goes for the top of the ticket and everybody down below. Remember, there are other things to vote for than just president. Go to michigan.gov/vote and see the ballot. Or look on Facebook. They're even tying that in. You can see what your ballot could be on Facebook. And take that with you as, I don't know, what a world we live in. Remember that no matter what happens with this vote, God's kingdom is not shaken. And our call as his followers is still the same. To love God and to love our neighbors. To grow intentionally as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God. Our primary loyalty is to Jesus and Jesus' kingdom. This week, aside from all that election stuff, your action step for the week. This week, I'd like for you to ask yourself Maybe discuss it with your friends and your family. Where do you see God's image most clearly? Where do you see God's portrait and inscription? The denarius, the quarter, the silver dollar bears the inscription of our world. That's great. It has the name and the face of people that are important to us. Great. Where do you see God's inscription? Make a list. Maybe individuals, maybe things, maybe events, maybe relationships. Make a list of those places, those people in whom you see God's image most clearly. And then ask yourself how you can give those to God. How can you glorify God in giving those people, those experiences, those relationships to Him and allowing Him to bless the world through them? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to the government what is the government's, or else the IRS will come after you. You know, that's the way it works. The only things that are certain in life, the only thing that is certain in life is Jesus, friends. Taxes, yeah, well, those will be there. Death, unless the Lord returns first, yes. The only thing that is constant in this universe is Jesus. What bears His image? Think on these things, and perhaps we will learn more and more to see Jesus more clearly in our own lives and in each other. Would you join me in prayer? Lord our God, we give You thanks this day for being God, being higher than all things that we think about and worry about. All of our concerns, all of our issues, all of our problems, You are greater than all of those. We give You thanks for being God. Give us wisdom this day as we seek to follow You with our lives. Give our nation wisdom as we head to the polls on Tuesday. Give our leaders wisdom that they may do their jobs with integrity and with justice. Help us all, Lord, to live lives that are honoring to You. And help us to see You, Your image, Your name, within us and within those around us. We give You praise and glory for who You are and for what You are doing in us and among us. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray these things.